NOP host Chris Bashan recently relocated from Chicago to Los Angeles, but before leaving, he recorded a series of nerdy topics with some of his best guests and friends. These are their stories. And we're back yet again. I have yet another guest with me on the mic, Christian Masonic. Welcome back to the show. Christian, you've been on many times.
Thank you so much. Yes, I have.
You are, unsurprisingly, a Nintendo fan.
Yes, I've mainly been here for Nintendo things.
So, what are we talking about?
Today, we're going to talk about Star Fox.
Star Fox. I love Star Fox.
I do, too. I feel like it's considered kind of a B-list Nintendo franchise, and I get it. It's not Mario, it's not Zelda, it's not Metroid, but it's, you know, it should be up there with your Donkey Kongs and your Pokemons.
Yeah, I think it's below them.
Well,
like, you know,
but
like,
it should be more.
It should be more.
Yeah.
I guess that's my first question. I was thinking about this when you mentioned this. Do you think Star Fox has ever gotten the recognition that it deserves?
No. I think for a collection of reasons. I think they take too much time off. There was, especially in between Zero and the last real game was Command. I mean, there was the 64 3DS one. It was like 10 years it was gone. I missed the Wii entirely, which was a, you know, a very successful Nintendo.
Yep.
I had nothing there. And I just think that they keep, I think ultimately the problem with it is they keep making weird choices. And then when those weird choices don't pay off, they're like, well, I guess Star Fox isn't any good. And like, no, you just keep doing it weird. Stop doing that.
You know, it's strange you mention that. Like, of all of their franchises, I feel Nintendo rolls the dice the most with Star Fox.
Right.
And I don't know why that is.
Well, because it's like Zelda and Mario, like, we can't screw, they think they can't screw around with. Like, we have to make it that we're maintaining, it's a franchise that is our bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
But Star Fox, it's all like, if somebody like out there, like, I got a crazy idea for Star Fox, they're like, all right, yeah, go for it.
It's like, sure, do it. Well, so for those in the listening audience, I don't know why you're listening to us talk about Star Fox if you don't know what it is, but Star Fox is, generally speaking, a on-the-rails space shooter with animals.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. That's it. It's not Rogue Squadron. Mm-mm. It's not TIE Fighter. It's not, you know, whatever really insert famous dog fighting space franchise here. It is anthropomorphic foxes and pigs and wolves shooting at each other in a cool science fiction fantasy setting, you know. It kind of even has like a Star Wars vibe to it.
It definitely. If Metroid is Nintendo's Alien, then yeah, I would say Star Fox is definitely Nintendo's Star Wars. I mean, it's got a very, especially the kind of the Wedge Antilles, Red Leader type Star Wars for sure.
If it taps into kind of like that team dynamic, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, you know, even though it is, you play as Fox, you do have the Star Fox team that are his comrades.
So Falco's the Raphael.
Yep.
Slippy's kind of the Donatello and the Michelangelo.
Uh-huh.
And then
Peppy is
Splinter.
Yeah. You know.
And I guess Fox is Leonardo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's great. God, I love
it. It's really great. I like it so much.
So the first game came out
93, something like that.
And did you play it when it first came out?
No. So as I've mentioned before, I had a Sega Genesis growing up, not a Super Nintendo.
Yes.
I had seen it played. I maybe played it a little bit at a friend's house, not in any real way. And this one took me a long time to play because of the weird kind of 3D rendering that they did, it's actually, for whatever reason, very difficult to emulate.
Yes.
So a lot of the
And we'll talk about that for sure.
A lot of the classic Super Nintendo games and NES games, because I missed them growing up, I have since gone on to play through emulators. Nowadays, with Virtual Console, there's other ways. But Star Fox was one of the ones you could almost never find.
Now, being a Genesis kid, I feel Star Fox is one of those points in the console wars of the 90s that was like, oh, Nintendo won that round.
Sure.
Like, this was something the Genesis could not do.
Right.
And I don't think the Genesis any developer really attempted to try and do this.
No, I wouldn't say so. And I mean, like, look, I think as good as the original Star Fox was, that was hardly like the knockout blow for why Super Nintendo won.
No. But as a Genesis kid, like when you saw Star Fox, were you like, ah? Oh.
A little bit. Okay. The thing is, it's weird because it looks 3D and that looks impressive, but it also looks kind of bad. Mm-hmm. Like, because the 3D technology was so rudimentary back then. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I look at something, I think aesthetically, something like Donkey Kong mm-hmm. was really where I was like, oh my God, we can't compete with this. Mm-hmm. Which now I don't know that Donkey Kong holds up visually. Yeah. But at the time, it blew my mind. Because mm-hmm. it was a little bit 3D, but not really. Mm-hmm. But it just seemed like a whole new ball game. Star Fox was a little, like, because it's so vectory and so just triangles.
Yep.
I almost didn't know. It looked like it looked like kind of like, you know, because I was kind of, at the time it came out, it was sort of near the end of the Super Nintendo. It was already kind of getting into the Virtual Boy and things mm-hmm. like that. It almost reminded me of that with the weird, like, you almost don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. Like, I grew up with PCs and computers because my dad was a tech fiend. So we had, like, Amigas and computer brands that no longer exist. So I had grown up with certain like 3D shooters mm-hmm. like Star Wars TIE Fighter, X-Wing, mm-hmm. Star Glider, you know, some of these very vectory video games on PCs mm-hmm. that PCs generally did really well. Right. You had to have a powerful PC to run it, but it did it really well. So even though to me Star Fox looked rudimentary, I was impressed mm-hmm. that it was running on a Super Nintendo, you know, and Did it
require something else? Was it one of the ones that needed a special something?
It has a chip inside of it, yeah, which is one of the reasons it's hard to emulate. But I think where the original Star Fox really succeeds is, even though its technology is impressive, though limited, I think like the story they kind of built around it mm-hmm. and like the music and just the narrative right. that they were pushing really makes Absolutely. That game much better mm-hmm. than it actually is.
It really is. Like, I mean, as silly as it is, and obviously you think Star Fox and you think of how, you know, Slippy's annoying and do a barrel roll and all that kind of stuff. But like, there really is like a, you know, a son avenging his father. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's really... It is very, it's kind of got this epic Star Wars. It's like Star Wars and Star Trek. It's yeah. like kind of a little bit of both of them. But with a, you know, with a childlike, you know, but it's a fox doing it. Like that yeah. makes it, I think, appealing to kids and they don't get too dark with it. It really is like you, I come to care about these characters in a way that I don't care about, you know, Toad.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really get to know them. Even Mario and stuff, like, they're fun and they're iconic and the games are great, but, like, nobody in that franchise besides Luigi and maybe Bowser has a lot of personality. They're just kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And look, Link is famous for his kind of subtle personality, but everybody in Star Fox has, you know, too much personality. I think I was really drawn to that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned the emulation. Like, this is a game that is really hard to emulate. Mm-hmm. And until the SNES Classic came out, it was actually really hard to get this game to run flawlessly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what they did with the SNES Classic to make this playable. But, you know, like, Nintendo is wizards with their own emulation. Right. They always have been. They do really well with their emulation. So I was happy to see that Star Fox was on the SNES Classic.
Which is, that's too big a game to not have.
Right.
So, especially if you're going to have Star Fox 2 and then not have the original one.
You know, since you bring it up, and then you have Star Fox 2, which was a sequel we never got until 18, 22 years later.
Yeah.
A game that was fully developed and then not released. For reasons that are probably going to become pretty apparent. And it's so funny. Did you hear after the SNES Classic came out, Dylan Cuthbert, who is one of the head, I think he was director. He was the lead director, I think, on Star Fox 2.
Yeah.
They had a release party.
Oh, nice.
When they found, they were like, oh, okay, great.
Because I think they did 2, and I think they did 64 too.
I think so.
So it's not like they're like, well, get out of here, Cuthbert. Yeah. But yeah.
And the rumor mill is that Star Fox 2 was fully ready to go, English localized, and then Nintendo decided to pull it and focus on the N64, which was a good decision. Yeah. I don't know how I would have felt had Star Fox 2 come out with the N64 on the horizon. Now, having said that, I've played Star Fox 2, and I actually really enjoy it, and I appreciate what it's trying to do. Definitely has flaws.
Sure. Now, yeah. I remember, I've never played it because I don't have an NES, SNES Classic, so I've actually never played Star Fox 2. I remember we talked about it a little bit on the Super Nintendo Classic podcast. Mm-hmm. So there were, it seemed to be the consensus worst game on the console.
Oh, I disagree. There was
a few people who said that. Some people also said, what was the other one?
Kirby's, there's a Kirby golf game yeah.
And then there was some anti-Ghouls and Ghosts.
Oh, sure. I like Ghouls and Ghosts, but I get why people don't. The problem with Star Fox 2 is that thing is pushing the hardware.
Okay.
It runs very slow. So, and that's probably the big problem is it runs really slow. Now, for me, like, I play a lot of games that have, like, problems with them, and I just kind of adapt to the problems and just make the problem part of the game. Mm-hmm. But Star Fox 2 does run slow. Like, the first game runs really smooth, but it's not doing a lot. But Star Fox 2 is doing a lot. Like, there's a full 3D range mode that obviously gets ported into the Fox 64. What I really like is it's kind of like a strategy game. Mm-hmm. Like, rather than have on the rails parts, like, you just have the map of the Lylat system, and Andross is sending units and attacking different planets, and you have to decide where to go.
Oh, that's
and
very
there's
cool.
There's a clock. So when you're on one planet trying to free it, he's still attacking other planets and, like, moving his forces. So you have to protect Corneria, you have to shoot down missiles while trying to free planets, and then, like, decide where you want to spend your time. And what's really great about it is no two... Like, the game has a lot of replayability. Like, no two games of that game are the same. You know,
you can play as different characters.
So you can choose your main. You choose two teammates, and there's three pairs of teams. You know, and they each fly different R wings. So you've got Fox and Falco who fly kind of the normal R wing, Slippy and Peppy who fly kind of like the souped up but really slow modified heavy cruiser R wings, and then I forget the names of the cat and the
Cat Monroe
poodle or whatever. I forget whatever.
Oh wait, I don't think it is Cat Monroe.
No, it's two characters that you never see again, but the other two members who round out the team, you play as them, and their R-wings are super fast but very fragile.
Gotcha.
And you can mix and match. Like, you can have Fox with one of the new characters, or Peppy with Falco. So there's just a cool, there's just a lot of customization into each game, and that's before you add, like, difficulties. Like, when you select a different difficulty, more worlds are added to the map. Andross will do different things.
Oh. Do the other games even have difficulty? I don't think they do.
Well, the first Star Fox's difficulty was which route you chose.
Star Fox 64 has that too.
But no other Star Fox, except for maybe Command, which I have not played, has this kind of interactive live map.
I have Blade Command. It's not great.
Okay. And that's what I thought Star Fox 2 did really well. It's cool. If you ever get an SNES Classic,
I'm sure that'll be the first thing.
Through the trouble of giving the game a go.
Sure.
And give it more than one go. And it's not a long game. Like, if you know what you're doing, you can beat it in like 25, 34 minutes, whatever.
Oh, but that is not, not a long game.
I mean, like, the original Star Fox going through one course did not take very long.
Yeah.
So it's good. I go back to it from time to time, and I'm glad I can play it.
Yeah.
But they didn't release it. They released Star Fox 64.
So this is the first one I played, and it's still, I mean, I think it's most people's favorite. It's so good, and there's so much because of the branching paths, because of, you know, little intricacies in each thing, like... You're playing it one time, and then you want to make sure, like, sometimes James McCloud will come at the end, sometimes he won't, like the ghost of your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's all, it's so good. And they, with the voices, they had the kind of fun Animal Crossing-esque voices in the first one.
I love the voice acting in this game. It's so cheesy and over the top, but I love it. It just works for this. In a game where animals are flying spaceships, the voice acting works.
Yeah.
And it's great.
But I also like I mean, obviously... Do a barrel roll is an iconic line. But all of, like, you know, Falco's like, "Hey Einstein," really just lame. Just very much felt like a Top Gun-esque, that kind of thing.
This feels like the game that they wanted to make with the original Star Fox.
Exactly.
Like, I think this is it. This is what they originally tried to do.
Narratively, it's a reboot. They just kind of ignore everything and just say this was the original story. Brings in Star Wolf, which I think is in Star Fox 2.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those are fan favorite type characters.
But he even has like that opening Star Wars-esque scroll, you know?
Yeah.
The Lylat System. Fox McCloud. Jamie McCloud. You see them all running. It's great. Oh, it's great. Oh. What's your favorite level in that game?
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
Oh, my God. I mean, the very end, I guess that's Venom, where you're going and you're going through the tunnel before you get to him is really good. I also like, is it Fischina that's the frosty? What's the frosty one? It's all snowy. And you're in Landmaster.
Yeah. Well, there's the one that's snowy where you're protecting the base.
Right.
There's the train one, which is Macbeth.
Macbeth is very good.
And that's the Landmaster.
Yeah.
There is the one where you have to go rescue Slippy, which is also the Landmaster. There's the Independence Day knockoff one with the alien spaceship attacking Titania, I think.
Okay. No, yeah. That one's good.
Yeah.
I would say either Venom or I really like that train one because I remember I had a lot of trouble with it.
It's hard.
Because Landmaster's not great.
And there's two ways to beat the train one.
Yeah, there is. Mm-hmm. What is the deal with that again?
So you can either just blow up the train, like get to the end, fight the boss and blow up the train, which will send you to the Bull satellite.
Okay.
Or you can trip the track.
Hit all eight. That's what I would always do. Mm-hmm.
And it would send you up to Sector Z, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then you can attack. That's what I like about 64 is you can kind of, you're not labeled, you're not stuck on a track. Like if you start off on the easy track and find a secret, you can jump over to Titania. Or if you do this one victory condition in this one world, you can go over to this other track. Like it's really cool how they interweave the different areas.
And there's a lot of characters in 64 where if I'm sure the first bunch of times I played it, I got the worst, way. And so it was always in the bottom of the screen. And there were a lot of characters I didn't see until way later because you needed to be better at the game and go to the other ones. Mm-hmm. Cat Monroe, Bill Gray, all these people don't appear in the basic level once.
Nope.
So you have to go to more interesting. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if there's still some planets I never ended up making it to.
Yeah, it's got a lot of great secrets. It's really replayable.
Yeah.
Which helps
because it's 2 hours long.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really short. But that's okay because it's really replayable. God, it's so good. I think this is probably the one that people most...
I would say it's certainly because I think they keep trying to... Zero almost seemed like a soft reboot to go back to... Like, it's like, forget about the other ones. It's like 64 again.
Yeah.
Which, I wish they would, move on from it because it's a great game. But it's also very much a game from that era. I think a game like that isn't...
Do you think they can make this game now?
This game, as it is, like just a nicer version of it, no. They could make it. You could do an indie game like that. But no, I think Star Fox needs to be more than an on-rails, a simple on-rails shooter with little twists and turns.
Hold on to that thought, because I want to talk about that at the end. But yeah, so when you talk to people about Star Fox or if somebody's showing an interest in Star Fox, is 64 kind of where you point them?
Yeah. Now, there are other... I mean, I think Adventures is a good game, but most Star Fox fans, disavow that. Mm-hmm. I would probably, if I was going to have them play it for the first time, I would probably have them play the 3DS version of 64.
Yeah, it's good.
That is very good.
It just looks better. Mm-hmm. It's like Ocarina of Time on 3DS. Like, it just looks... better. The 3D actually works really well for Star Fox.
And you can save it and you can stop playing. That was always an issue. If I'm playing Star Fox, I gotta sit down until I beat it or die, and that's not how anybody wants to play games anymore.
No. I would point to the 3DS version also.
Mm-hmm.
That takes us to Star Fox Adventure, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So Star Fox Adventure is not really a Star Fox game. It's a Zelda game. Effectively, set in the Star Fox universe. Nowadays, I actually would like to play that. I had a similar reaction though to the rest of the world in 2002, which was, I have Zelda. I don't want to play that. I want to play Star Fox.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. So this is one of those this wasn't even a Star Fox game when they started.
Dinosaur Planet.
Dinosaur Planet.
For 64.
Mm-hmm. It was a totally different game, which is why there's dinosaurs in it. And then they put the characters of Star Fox into the game. So why do you defend this game?
So yeah, the lore of that is that they, you know, they were just Rare was developed, and it's a Rare game, which, you know, back then at that time, Rare was a big deal for Nintendo. Yeah. I mean, half the best games for N64 are from Rare.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, there's some pedigree there, and then it was like, yeah, Shigeru Miyamoto was like watching like a rudimentary version of Dinosaur Planet, was all like, that guy kind of looks like Fox McCloud. You know what? Make it a Star Fox game, and they're like, okay. Which I get that that's lame. You know, they had their own vision for it and they should have been able to do it the way they wanted to. But I don't know. I liked the fact that, I mean, there's two things about it. Yes, it's like a Zelda game, but you know what? Zelda games are the best games. So when you have a game, it's not as good as a Zelda game, but it's still pretty good. It looked beautiful for GameCube. It's one of the, in my opinion, one of the best looking GameCube
games. It is a very good looking game.
And it was just, you know, it was fun. Like, I've been in the spaceship already, and you get to know, I feel like I spent more time with Fox himself as a character.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought the story was good. I liked the planet. There were all sorts of very cool-looking worlds and things like that. You still had a little bit of the space portion of it. I just thought it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I had played 64. It was a game I would rent a lot from Blockbuster. I never owned it.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably only played it through a couple of times. Adventures was actually the first Star Fox game I owned.
Mm-hmm.
So I played the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was so... I liked that they were willing to take a chance, do something a little different. And it makes me sad, the fact that... because of the backlash, so they're like, okay, never mind, we'll just do the same thing all the time, which isn't the answer either. Maybe this isn't the answer, but, you know, you can't have it Star Fox be Zelda games. But a one-off thing, exploring, trying to find its destiny in a more modern age, I think was a good idea.
Yeah, like, it's weird. Like, the GameCube specifically, like... we didn't really get a proper Mario game. It launched with a Luigi game.
Sure.
Did not launch with a Mario game, which was a new thing for them. When we did get a Mario game, it was very different from Sunshine.
I like Sunshine a lot, too.
From what came before. Wind Waker also, very different.
People
like,
hated the style.
It seemed like Nintendo just wanted to experiment with the GameCube, for better or worse, and Star Fox is no exception to that. I really gave Star Fox Adventures the college try.
Okay, so you did play it for
a while. Did, and I beat the first boss and got the first MacGuffin thing that you have to get, and went to the next area, you know. And then just at the time, it just was not what I wanted,
right?
You know, so I didn't go back to it. I think I still have it. It's a game I wish that, like, if they do GameCube emulation on the Switch, I would hope they put
100% they should do that.
Yeah, I hope that they put Star Fox Adventures on there, because I'd like to actually give it a second go.
It does have, you know, it has, I think Rare is given a fair charge that they tend to, in that era of late 64, everything was a collectathon. That's why everybody hates Donkey Kong 64, because it's just collect a million purple bananas, and Banjo-Kazooie had aspects of that too. Star Fox does as well. But you're more able to ignore it if you want to. They also do the same thing I hate about Twilight Princess. I mean, I hate so much about Twilight Princess.
Hey, hey, hey. We had that discussion.
But they bring, you know, the whole story of Star Fox Adventures is this: there's this General Scales who's taking over this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Fox is trying to help this girl, Crystal, becomes his love interest in future games, even.
Of course.
And then at the very end, it's even worse than with Zant. You're literally about to fight General Scales. It's all. And then Scales dies.
Yes.
Out of nowhere, because Andross is back.
Yes,
Andross. And then it's all like, get in your shit. You got to fight Andross. Falco's not been in the whole game, but then Falco swoops in. It's like, all right, Fox, let's...
So the last fight literally turns into, like,
a
space
Fox.
Shooter?
Yeah.
That's so
funny.
It just
goes right back to Star Fox. Like, the whole other game didn't matter.
That's so funny, because it's like... Like, if you are someone who is good at adventure games, and you saw this as an adventure game and you want to play that, but you're horrible at spaceflight or shooter games or flying games, you're screwed.
I'm certainly way better at adventure games than I am at shooter games.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to beat just that last... I was like 99.9% done, and then I just have to do this, and I'm like, I haven't been practicing this this whole time.
Yeah.
Like,
Fox. So you... Yeah, yeah. I hope it's a game that they do digitally release, because I would love to play it again. Then we get into the dark years. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the beginning of the dark time for Star Fox. Mm-hmm. And I would argue Star Fox is maybe still in its dark time.
Probably, yeah.
Because then we get Star Fox Command and Assault.
Right.
Let's talk about Assault first, because that was also in the GameCube.
Yes, I think it came out a year before Command.
And this was, I feel them going, okay, you want a space shooter.
Never mind. Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah.
And Assault, I missed it at the time, but I picked it up at a GameStop years later and played through the whole thing. And it just doesn't feel, I don't know, something feels off about it.
They got a whole Borg plot going on.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like, it gets really weird and dark when Pygma starts merging with the Borg, and then you're like,
and doesn't Pepe afterwards. Die? Like, does somebody die?
I think General Pepper may die. Pepe, you think, dies. It turns out he doesn't.
Okay.
But yeah, he does sacrifice himself and the Great Fox.
Yeah.
And I think Rob 64 is on board. And it's just, yeah, it's dark. Pepe's not on your team anymore. He's like, he's now actually the Splinter, and Crystal has taken his role. It is weird.
And you even go to Dinosaur Planet. You go to where, whatever that place is called.
There's one level down. You visit Prince Tricky again, who's now full grown.
There's on the foot sections.
That are bad. Those are terrible.
You know, and that's weird because they had the Landmaster from 64. Mm-hmm. Like, they kind of had an idea of how to do this.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, him on, when he's on his foot with his blaster is the worst part of any of those games.
Like, the tone of the game is missing a sense of humor.
Right.
And it's
Fox
it's,
is deadly serious when he's got kind of a playful, roguish quality in adventures.
Yeah.
And now it's like he's grown. He's 20 years older and it's no nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're wearing like leather suits.
He became the Luke Skywalker of the franchise.
It's really weird. It's not good. The actual, when you're just in space doing regular space missions, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not doing anything that Star Fox 64 didn't do, except that it looks prettier because it's, you know, 10 years later.
Yeah.
But it is easily the least interesting, most forgettable of the games.
Yeah.
It's not the worst of the games, but it's the least interesting.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's
kind of
it. I even feel like the game is on the GameCube, but I feel Star Fox Adventures looks way better
than
Assault.
Way better. Well, because it's Rare versus Namco, which, like, Namco doesn't make games like this.
No.
Like, so I think it was just they took more time with Adventures, and it was a better studio who's doing it.
Then we have Star Fox Command for the DS, which I never played and have nothing to say about.
I rented it off GameFly one time because I didn't have a DS originally. So it took until I got a 3DS, and then I'm like, okay, I'll go back and play some of the, you know, more iconic DS games, one of which was Command. It's so hard and not fun to play. You can figure it out, but it's not fun because you're not flying around like normal.
Oh, you're using the stylus, aren't you?
Use the stylus, and you chart, before you even go anywhere, you chart a course. And you're like, okay, I'm going to go here. And then it kind of plays out. It's weird.
Do you like Spirit Tracks or Phantom Hourglass?
I have actually not played them. Because of the... I had them also on my GameFly queue.
Yeah.
But because of the negative feeling that I had playing this, I thought I'm not going to like those versions either because I don't want to lead Link around like that.
It's an adjustment. I beat Phantom Hourglass, and I do like Spirit Tracks. I haven't beaten it though, but it's one of those things where it's like the stylus control kind of works, but honestly, it just should be It should be a regular control, not touchscreen.
I think in that era, the very early DS games, I think they were so, you know, they loved, okay, we got to try everything we can do about it. Blow into the thing.
We got to use
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, ultimately, I think they eventually walked that back because nobody liked it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is not a good... The story... It's also visually pretty ugly.
Mm-hmm.
The story is actually interesting.
Okay.
There's branching paths. You can have one of, I think, like 10 different endings.
Yeah, I've
And they can
that.
Send the characters off onto completely different... so that part of it is cool, but it's not worth playing that game for.
So that's kind of all we have to say about Command. So that brings us to Star Fox Zero, which everybody was hoping, like, this is it.
I was excited.
I was excited.
It had been a long time.
It had been a long time.
I think it was almost 10 years.
Yeah. And
with just the 64 3DS game.
The game looks really good.
It does.
The game is very gorgeous. It's like old school Star Fox, you know, multiple routes that you can go, just shooting, whatnot. I like
that they included, so starting with Brawl Fox in the Smash Brothers games has a Vegeta-esque
scouter on his thing, face.
And now they've incorporated that into his look, and I think that's badass.
Yeah. And much like Star Fox 64, there's multiple vehicles in this one as well. Or, I'm sorry, the R-Wing can transform.
Right. Not only into the Landmaster, but also in this a helicopter type thing, and then a walker.
Yeah. And I think, which is
cool, fine.
And in a interesting move, they decided to make a whole separate screen on the Wii U is where you aim.
Yeah. And that was an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, it doesn't break the game. Like, I think the stylus probably breaks Star Fox Command. You can play through Zero. And the second screen offers some cool things where, like, you could have one person fly the R-Wing and one person be the gunner.
Sure.
Which is a cool idea. But if you are just playing by yourself...
Which I was.
And you have to be both of those things...
It was very difficult.
It's hard. It's not impossible, but it takes some getting used to.
Right. It didn't allow me to become absorbed in it because I'm just like, wait, what? Okay, not going to be here. And it just wasn't. Right.
Which screen do I look at?
Yeah, you know? it was stressful in a bad way.
The only time I feel the second screen really works is when you drop the robot down. And the screen becomes the robot. And so you can look away from the TV and look at the robot.
Well, because I think in those situations, you're not... Generally, when you're doing the robot, you don't have tons of incoming fire.
Right.
So that was all... Yeah. I didn't like that at all. Apparently, so they released Zero, and then there was that side game where, like...
That game is amazing!
I've actually never played that. That one's apparently great.
It's so good. It's so dumb. And it's so good. Like, Slippy's uncle... Slippy's uncle owns like a defense contractor and just puts up cameras with robot guns or puts up sentry guns to protect places. That's all
it
does.
What's that one called again?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But you're right, it came out at the same time as Star Fox Zero. And you're right, like Star Fox Zero is good. But the Slippy game is better. It's better. It's a totally different game, but it's better.
And the sales of Star... I mean, look, it didn't help that it was on the Wii U, which nothing did well.
Nothing helped.
But apparently the sales were just unbelievably bad for Zero.
That's a shame.
Yeah, and because it was 10 years, and obviously I think the reason they waited that long is because I'm assuming the sales for Assault and Command weren't great either.
No.
Honestly, I don't know that any of them have been unqualified hits beyond the first two.
Yeah.
I think
so. If Star Fox Zero was the end of the story, I would be a little nervous about the future of Star Fox. But the fact that they put Star Fox 2 on the SNES Classic, I feel kind of re-galvanized it a little bit.
And there are two. There's one for sure, and one possible upcoming things for Star Fox.
So I've not heard about that. Okay. What is it?
So the big rumor going into E3 was that there was supposedly this game called Star Fox Grand Prix. But there was so much information about it seemed like it had to be a real game. Now, they didn't talk about it at E3. That doesn't necessarily mean it's not a real game.
Right.
And that supposedly, it takes elements of F-Zero and turns Star Fox into like... A frenetic racer type thing, which I think would be an interesting spinoff for that one. Who knows? That may never come to pass.
Right.
But there's a game by Ubisoft, Starlink Battle for Atlantis.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a No Man's Sky meets there's some Mass Effect aspect to it. It's this big sprawling open space game. And with its own characters, but for the Nintendo Switch version, one of the main characters is Fox McCloud. And you can play as him in the R-Wing. You can play exclusively as him if you want to. And it just becomes a Star Fox game.
Is he just a skin for the character? Or does he have a
whole
story?
They build a whole thing. They build a whole different storyline and weaved him into every important scene. He's there. Falco's there. Peppy's there. Slippy's there. You're all together. You're in the R-Wing. You're doing space things. They just posted a couple days ago. They posted, you can find online, the first 28 minutes of the game if you're playing as Fox. And it's really cool. And it seems to be, look, No Man's Sky was a game I was really excited about, and then I think it turned out not to be that great.
Yeah.
I never wound up even playing it. But this seems to be maybe a a version of that that didn't have No Man's Sky's problems. I think No Man's Sky ultimately didn't have that much to do, and it was boring.
Yeah,
this seems to have a lot going on, and like an involved storyline. And then just, and they're mainly humans, and then there's Fox. Like, he's Fox. He's the same voice as the guy who plays him in 64.
Great.
And so I was watching that yesterday, and it looks like a lot of fun. And the fact that they would do this is so cool. Yeah. And just proves that, you know, Nintendo apparently, similar to Star Fox Adventures, looked at Starlink, and Ubisoft was like, hey, do you want to put this on the Switch? And they looked at it, and then they're like, how about you get Star Fox in there? So even the idea that they still care about him, and look, he's a Shigeru Miyamoto creation.
Yeah, he's Shigeru Miyamoto creations. Like, you, if you are bequeathed one of those,
right,
you treat it with reverence.
Yeah,
at least you're supposed to.
And you know, a lot of the big, you know, your Pokemons and your Metroids have nothing to do with him, but you know, Donkey Kong, Mario, Zelda, and Star Fox are his babies.
Those are his, yeah.
And that doesn't mean, I mean, he was, I think, the one who came up with Zero and was kind of in charge of it, and that wasn't good.
Yeah,
so he's
not
foolproof. He also made Wii Music, so.
Yeah, I mean, we totally should do a Miyamoto podcast sometime, but that man is the Steve Jobs, John Williams, the Steven Spielberg, you know, of Nintendo.
Of almost of video games. He's certainly the most famous name in video games.
You know, like Satoru, I was reflecting on this the other day, like Satoru Iwata, like his passing was very sad, and I think he had a huge influence on games and was obviously a friend of Miyamoto. I think when Miyamoto eventually does turn into the Pikmin that he is and vanish into the night sky, like, it is a loss for everybody.
Yeah, and it's hard to know how involved he is on the day-to-day. He's quite old. He was, I think, maybe 10, 15 years older than Iwata.
Yeah, he's in his 60s.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, he hasn't directed a game since Ocarina was the last game he directed.
Wow.
So it's been a while, but he's still heavily, he's an executive producer in all these games. So I don't know if he's just kind of like, what do you guys got? Good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. Or if he's really like, no, do this. Who knows at this point? But
yeah, I don't know. But it's hopefully a good sign that Fox is in that game.
Yeah, I hope so.
So we're almost out of time, but I have a few questions that are like percolating in the mind here. So what do you think they need to do to make the next Star Fox game successful?
What I think it needs to be, and it won't be exactly like this, but I've said this for a while, I think it needs to be similar to a Mass Effect. I think you need to, you know, still by all means have a lot of the battles and things take place in the spaceship and things like that, but I think you need to make it more open world. I think they need to ditch on rails. I think that's just, that feels antiquated and is very limiting.
Could you have a mixture, like some parts?
You could, sure, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Corneria's on rails and then, you know.
But I think you should be able to go to different planets, have different missions, be like, okay, now I got to fly back to Corneria. You should be able to land at some point, interact with characters. I don't think, you don't need to have a lot of on-land combat.
Yeah.
You can still have some if you do it right. You just haven't done it right yet.
No, I like this part of the game, but even like in 64, the what's the submarine called?
Oh, not the Landmaster, but
Is it the Aquamarine or no? No, what is it called?
Because one of the planets is Aqua.
Yeah.
I forget.
I forget what the submarine is called, and the internet's yelling at me. But like, even I would argue that's the misstep of that game, but it still works, and I like that level. And you only do it one time, you know.
I'm gonna look it up as we talk.
That's fine. I think they can do, like, Fox is at his best when he's in vehicles, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Keep him in vehicles, you know, for the action.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
But I think you need to open the world up, really explore, like, what are these planets all about? Like, we visit them for 5 minutes in a level, like maybe they have different creatures that live there, like really kind of maybe similar to a No Man's Sky. You're mainly in the ship in that, like with more battle focus, but like broaden this world out and like make it a space opera in a way that I feel like it hasn't been. The Blue Marine,
thank you. Aquamarine. I was close.
You were very close.
I was close. I would add on to that. I would like to see what they do with Star Fox 2 and kind of have like tactical things.
That would, like that would also be really
like
fun.
A clock, you mm-hmm. know, like a real life, like things are happening while you're doing other things, I think would be cool for just replayability.
Yeah. Even, you know, introducing, yeah, I mean, I'm with strategy and Nintendo, I'm thinking Fire Emblem, and you can do, mm-hmm. you could do a version of that with different fleets and things like, or, you know, maybe more similar to a Advance Wars type thing. Yeah. I think that, that could be a fun, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot they could do. They just need to, the issue isn't like, control, let's control it differently.
Right.
That's no, not the, that's that not wasn't the problem. It controlled great. We don't need to do it strange.
Like, wait, that's the weird thing. Like Nintendo always designs from a place of great controls. Mm-hmm. That's just, it's what they do. It's what they're known for. That's why in this series, it's weird to see it have the most control missteps.
Right.
You know? Yeah, it's weird.
And I think it's them in both the DS and the Wii U. It was like the DS, well, here's everything we can do with the DS. Let's try to incorporate it when you don't need to. Wii U was similar. I think that was still kind of a part of all like, well, you can do something weird on the tablet mm-hmm. and then it's different on the screen.
Yeah.
Nintendo Land type thinking that I think everybody just decided they didn't like and mm-hmm. GameStop doing. But I think Miyamoto is the, you know, the crazy toy maker.
I think like the Switch forces them into a certain line of development mm-hmm. that is good for them.
Yeah.
For sure. So I'll be curious. I hope we see a Star Fox on Switch. I don't know really if we will.
Sure. Yeah. You know? I mean, and especially now that they have this Starlink game, they may think, well, okay, we had that.
Right. Like if I have to choose between I get Star Fox or Metroid on Switch, yeah, Metroid. Metroid wins hands down.
Metroids are way better games. They're just better games.
They're just better games, you know. In our March Madness bracket, Metroid wins.
Sure. I would, honestly, for me, the final two, it would be, I'm going to say Metroid Prime versus Breath of the Wild.
Oh.
You got to do this March Madness. They didn't hear the background of this, so they don't know what we're talking about.
Well, so as everybody knows, I am moving to Los Angeles, and there's a chance, well, once we're out there, that my friend John Luce, who has also been on the show before, pitched a podcast idea to me about kind of doing a March Madness of Nintendo video games. So that is what Christian is referencing. We'll see if it comes to
pass. Come up with 64 different games, 64 being a very iconic Nintendo
number. Yeah.
You branch them off, you do seeds. Oh, I'm so excited already.
So any final thoughts on Star Fox?
Just that I feel like it's a franchise that for people out there who haven't maybe given it a chance, mm-hmm. Or maybe haven't, you know, they played 64 and then decided the other ones looked weird and mm-hmm. haven't tried it. I'd say try them. They're not all great. I'd say you can give Command a full on pass. But everything else, try it. It's fun.
Guard, Star Fox Guard. That's the slippery
Star Fox Yard.
Even that is fun and
try
great.
Try that. Play adventures. Yes, it's like Zelda, but you like Zelda. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not as good as Zelda, but
Star Fox Guard is the Captain Toad treasure tracker of...
That sounds
you know,
fair.
To Star Fox, what treasure tracker or treasure hunter, whatever
you
it is.
You get to meet Slippy's uncle?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, Cranky Toad?
if you can get your hands on the SNES Classic, okay. I would recommend playing definitely the first Star Fox and giving Star Fox 2 a try.
Are those still kind of available? I know the NES had all the shortages.
Yeah, they're releasing a ton of them now.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both the NES Classic and the SNES Classic were re-released this year, so hopefully you can find one.
Okay. Yeah. And there's a few games on that. Like, if I never played Secret of Mana, I'd play that.
Oh, Secret of Mana is great.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Another game series where they keep changing what made it great and you don't need to reinvent.
Do they still make Secret of Mana games?
Oh, yeah.
Do they really?
There have been a lot of them.
I didn't know that. I was aware of the original and mm-hmm. I have not followed that franchise mm-hmm.
There's a lot. Yeah.
Stay tuned for the Secret of Mana podcast.
After the Skyward Sword and Metroid Prime versus Breath of the Wild podcast. Star Fox is great. I do. It has, especially for a game with voice acting,
mm-hmm.
which is something Nintendo does not do.
Sure.
It's just stupid fun.
Yeah.
Like, did you get the promo for Star Fox 64, the little VHS promo?
No.
Did you get any of the VHS? Like, did you get the Donkey Kong VHS promo?
I did have the Donkey Kong VHS promo.
They did a Star Fox VHS promo. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, like, back in the 90s, Nintendo literally mailed you a VHS, which was, like, half an hour long of Star Fox footage. And it was, you know, there was a narrative to the commercial. Like, it was these guys sneaking in and trying to find out information about Star Fox and all this stuff. And the Donkey Kong video was the same way. And it was just a, you know, a ploy to get kids to buy the game, but it worked. Like, I watched that VHS left and right. You know, I watched it so many times waiting for Star Fox 64 to come out. And I was like, I can't believe Fox talks. And yeah. There's a rumble pack. Oh, my God. You know?
There's also, they did an anime for Star Fox Zero.
Yeah.
It's like a whole, like, half an hour yeah. long anime. And it's actually, like, animated kind of well. Yeah, I watched fun. It. I yeah. liked it.
They could do a show on Star Fox.
They could totally do it. That lends itself to a show. They've done a Mario show. They've done a... That lends itself to a show more than any of the others. Because it's Mario. It's just... it's a me. I mean, it's not... And they're right. making a movie of that. Make a Star Fox movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, they don't know what's going on.
They don't know what they're doing. Well, hopefully they do.
Yeah, I like to believe
that. Well, Christian, that wraps it up for our Star Fox talk. If we ever do a proper... Star Fox episode, I will keep you in mind.
Please,
my friend.
Do.
I'm kind of curious, who's your favorite Star Fox character?
Fox McCloud, because foxes are, I believe, my spirit animal.
They like Miyamoto talked about, like, foxes are lucky in Japan.
Is that right?
Yeah, like there's a mythos to foxes in Japan, and I unfortunately don't know what it is off the top of my head, but there's a reason he made Fox.
Right. Wasn't there a statue?
Yeah.
A statue mm-hmm. of, like, a lucky fox yep. near where he grew up.
There was a shrine he went to mm-hmm. that had arches mm-hmm. and fox statues.
And that's what he
and
thought
that's
of.
Where, that's when he thought of, like, freaking Miyamoto, you know?
Who's your favorite Star Fox character?
I like Fox the most, mm-hmm. but, like, his team dynamic is so great.
I like Slippy. People don't like Slippy.
I like Slippy too. There's nobody that I don't like.
Falco's great. Peppy's great, yeah.
Like, the team dynamic is really good. I love the Falco-Fox banter.
Right.
You know?
It's very Leonardo Raphael.
I love the Wolf-Fox, like, rivalry. Mm-hmm. Pygma Dengar, like, all these characters.
Oh, yeah, when he's all like, he's always, like, saying, like, really, like, your father screamed real good. When he
it's
died.
Like, damn.
Like, Jesus, Pygma.
Not today, Star Fox. Yeah. Like, there's so many... The game is, specifically Star Fox 64, is so quotable because its characterization is so good. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you play the original Star Fox, it's not really there.
Right.
You know? Like, the characters have... personalities, but it's just so much more fleshed out in 64.
When you hear their voices and you hear, like, a Brooklyn accent on Falco and, like, that kind of southern accent that Peppy's got mm-hmm. and things like that.
Or Bill from the Academy, yeah. You know, like,
it just feels like a more fleshed out world. These feel like real, like, they're all in an army together fighting, and just some of them are the general's a dog.
Yeah.
And, like, your best friend's a frog. Like, it's just, it's... That was a lot of fun, and kids like that with Redwall and all that kind of stuff. I think kids always glob on to, like, oh, but he's a fox. Like, that's...
Yeah. You know what I love about, specifically about 64, but Star Fox as a whole, is they're a mercenary group.
Yeah.
You know, they're not part of the military. Like, right. They're the hot shot. They're like Voltron, but they don't form a lion.
And they're,
you know?
Like, they want their, like, when they're at the end of 64, they're like, give us our payment.
The bill. You get the bill. He gets the bill at the end. And depending on how many ships you shot down determines what your bill is.
And General Pepper's like, oh, join our army. And Fox is like, we like to do things our own way. Like, that's fine. They're kind of a ragtag, you know. It's almost a little bit, have you ever seen Cowboy Bebop?
No.
Okay, well,
I know.
You gotta do a podcast on that.
I know.
But it's a similar vibe, or like a Firefly. Mm, like this group of kind of ragtag group, and, you know, maybe Fox is the Mal and Falco's the Jane or whatever. Yeah.
I have seen Firefly, so. Cool, dude. Well, where can people follow you if they want to find you on the internet or whatnot?
I mean, I have a Facebook, but beyond that, I don't have a Twitter. So there's no good way to do that. But I'm an actor and a writer here in Chicago. So I'm around. I do things. I've had some short film things that have been coming and maybe coming out. So just pay attention to the name Christian Masonic. Google it, you know, maybe a couple of times each day and just see what's going on.
Cool.
Well,
Christian, you've been on the show a long time, obviously mostly on our Nintendo heavy episodes. We never got the Skyward Sword, which is a shame.
Or Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah. I was holding on Breath of the Wild for a few specific reasons. I might be able to get Breath of the Wild scrapped together, but I've got to do Skyward Sword.
You do, yeah, of course. You got to hit all the big Zeldas. So, I guess Majora's Mask, we're giving a pass, but...
Well, you know, I skipped Zelda 2 also.
Sure.
But I like Majora's Mask. we should go back sometime and talk about it. It's a
popular one,
But anyway, you've been on the show a long time, so thank you so much
for
having nerd discussions with me. Thanks for listening. Tune in soon for another Chicago story.